Morning. We're reading today from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have this passage before us this morning. We thank you that you're present with us by your Spirit. And Father, do your work in our hearts, that as disciples of Jesus, we would do his will. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, many years ago, not long after I started working as an engineer starting to earn money, I purchased and read this book, From Zero to 130 Properties in 3.5 Years. I'm not sure how long after, or whether it was after or before I read this book that I purchased, that I got a mortgage on my first house. But regardless of that, I've actually never got any closer than one property to that target. Not that I really made that my target. But do you know what? Just the fact that I purchased and read a book like that, it actually makes me shudder today, a little today, especially in light of the passage that we just read. It's not necessarily the book itself. It's not that investing is the issue. It's what I know was going on in my heart as and after I read it. And it's because I know what can still go on in my heart even today, when it comes to possessions. We've already, as we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, this is Jesus' sermon to his disciples. That means it's even to us if we're following Jesus. We've had some really challenging passages, haven't we? Jesus' teaching is so challenging and penetrating in the Sermon on the Mount, but I think it's possible that this is perhaps the hardest or equally the hardest in Jesus' sermon for many of us. One scholar that I read this week wrote this. Many perceptive observers have sensed that the greatest danger to Western Christianity, is not, as is sometimes alleged, the prevailing ideologies such as Marxism, Islam, the New Age movement, or humanism, or whatever else you want to add in that kind of list, but rather the all-pervasive materialism of our affluent culture. That analysis back in like the early 1990s, I think, is just as true for us today, isn't it? The greatest danger for the church in the West, where we are, is materialism. The reason why it's a danger for the church is because it's a danger for each one of us individually. Here's what I think is the purpose of this sermon, and indeed this passage. It's to grow our devotion to God, and to continue to sever our ties to materialism. If you're a disciple of Jesus, if you are following him as your Lord because he's the one who laid down his life for you, devote yourself wholeheartedly to God and sever your ties to materialism. I hope you see that as we work through the passage, but may God do that work in us as we work through this passage and as we continue to go out from here, because I think this is just, it's the waters we swim in, isn't it? And so it's hard. So, as we work through the passage, I've got 3 points. First, set your heart upon heaven's treasures. Verse 19, did you notice this? It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. And verse 20, I think it is, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Well, we have application straight away, don't we? Straight away, we can do that. How do we do that? Well, first, let's ask some very uncomfortable questions Are you storing up treasures on earth? I've been asking myself that this week, and it's been very uncomfortable. How do I know if I'm storing up treasures on earth? Well, let me suggest four ways you could look into this question. They don't give you a definitive answer. I think you've got to do some wise thinking about this, but it may shed some light on it for you. The first one is, you could look at your net worth. And what has my net worth been doing over, say, the last 10 years? What does it show me about what I'm doing with in relation to storing up possessions? Is it always increasing? If so, the next question is why? Because there may be many factors that affect this. Earning increases, inflation, appreciation of assets. For people with growing families, you're just going to need to accumulate more to try and look after the family. And so to some degree, our possessions might just need to keep increasing. Although probably for far too much, our possessions increasing due to living in a materialistic world. It's worth doing some thinking and asking questions around this. Am I concerned about my net worth continuing consistently going up? And if so, why? Does it reveal in me that my treasures are on earth? Now, we may have set answers to that, but we should ask, are they the right answers? I think this is probably the most complicated one to think through, but it's one that we should think through. Because here's the truth. At the end of the day, laying up treasures on earth means accumulating more and more wealth and material possessions. So we've got to look at that question, right? Secondly, here's another way you could think about it. What focus does material possessions or wealth actually have in my life? What am I driven to achieve and why? Is it about materialism? Are my goals in my life too focused on material increase? And so, you know, think about the motives in it. And so it links with the previous one. Third, we could consider, are there material possessions in my life that I could just never give up, or that I find it really hard to give up? Am I holding on to things which actually someone else might just think is junk, right? But to me, I'm keeping as treasure. This is a problem for those who have a tendency to hoard things accumulated from the past. Not everyone's like this. I have more of this problem than my wife does. But we should think about, are there things that we could just never give up? Has it become too much of a treasure to me? Fourthly, we could ask the question, am I generous with what I've got, or do I primarily keep it to myself? Perhaps there's plenty of other ways. They're just four examples of where we should probe ourselves on this. How am I going? Am I actually storing up treasures on earth? You might think of other ways that you could analyze yourself, and I know it feels very uncomfortable, but I know that I should keep doing this for myself. And I urge you, I think this is what all of us should keep doing if we're following Jesus. The instructions Jesus gives here, they're based on a truth, right? Secure treasure that you won't lose, is in heaven, not on earth. You know, back in Jesus' day, much of their wealth could be stored as clothing or sometimes grain, things like that, sometimes money or precious metals or stones and things like that, which, you know, so they'd store as clothing or grain in barns and things like that, or in locked boxes that they'd bury under the ground in their house and things like that. They are clearly not secure, right? Moths can destroy them. Rats and mice can consume the grain. Or some translations say rust. Rust can destroy the metals. Thieves can break in and steal. But of course, we can say to Jesus, things have changed now. This doesn't apply quite as much. You know, we've got mothballs. We've got other insecticides, right? We've got anti-rust sprays. We've got better locks, better security systems in place. We're able to secure our treasures in institutions that will guarantee its safety. And it's true, we might have more assurance today than of the security of our treasures than anyone in the past. Sure, there's still risk for us. We do realize that, right? There's still risk of thieves and fire and floods and accidents and damage of just the wear and tear of misplacing or losing. There's the danger of stock market crashes or other markets and so on. There's the problem of inflation. Yet, we'll take the risk still, won't we? Because in general, over the longer term, it generally pays off. We have the opportunity to just keep increasing our net worth. So we end up not as convinced about the truth basis for Jesus' instruction here. But you know what? That problem of not really believing Jesus, that was just as true for them back then. Not everybody was going to lose all their treasure to moth or vermin or things like that, or to thieves. And so they would take the risk just as much as us. See, the point is not how you can lose your treasures. The point is the comparison. The basis for Jesus' instructions is still true. Earthly treasure is not as secure in any way, nearly as secure as heavenly treasure. And it's definitely not as long-lasting. And when we depart this life, how much of our earthly treasure can we take with us? Zero. Zilch. Not a thing. Naked we come into the world and naked we will leave. So if we are to think it through rationally, what is the best investment we can make? If we believe this and could think rationally on this, the decision's easy, right? This decision's easy for me. I'll go for the secure treasure. Go for the heavenly treasure. This is a decision that's sometimes called a no-brainer, right? It's not difficult to work out which is the best direction to go here. But here's the problem with this. We don't use our brain on this one. We decide this one with our desires, not our thinking. Jesus tells us in verse 21, this is a matter of your heart. It's important to notice in verse 21, it starts with the word for, which connects it to what's preceding, right? The reason to heed this instruction is for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So store your treasure in heaven, not only because it's more secure, do it because it means that's where your heart will be located. That's what you will be longing for. That's what you will be thinking about. That's where you belong if you're a disciple of Jesus. You see, what we need is actually a change in what we think is valuable. What are the things we treasure? Are the treasures of our heart actually just material things primarily? What is heavenly treasure? You know, Jesus doesn't define that here. And I don't think it's defined very clearly anywhere. And so we've got to think about it. There's a story that's been told of a wealthy man who he died and he went to heaven. He was met at the pearly gates by Peter. And Peter led him inside and led him down streets of gold. The man, as he walked through, he admired these magnificent mansions as they passed along the way. And then Peter stopped the man right in front of a little shack. "This belongs to you," Peter said. And in horror, the man demands, "Why do I get this ugly thing when there could be so many mansions that I could live in?" And Peter answers, "We did the best we could with the money you sent up for us." Now, jokes aside, that story may communicate the absurdity of storing up treasures on earth rather than in heaven, but that's not exactly what Jesus means by heavenly treasure when he says store up treasures in heaven. He doesn't mean that just exchange your possible luxuries here for luxuries in heaven. Although I wonder if that's the assumption we sometimes make about this. Give up some luxuries here so that I can get some more luxuries later. But that's not right. Surely the most important treasures in heaven are the people who will be there with us. Just like the person on their deathbed, surrounded by their family, will more likely be thinking back over their time, not thinking, I wish I'd spent a bit more time in the office earning a little bit more. They'll be thinking, I wish I'd spent more time with these people right here. Right? In heaven, the greatest treasures will surely be the relationships. And so if we're to follow Jesus' instruction here, it's to change what we treasure most, to treasure people more than material things. Storing up our treasure in heaven is first changing what we think is most valuable. Set your hearts on heaven's treasure. And secondly, it's putting the two points of Jesus' instruction together here. It would be then using our material possessions, our material surplus, to invest in God's kingdom work, which is about practically loving people and the proclamation of the gospel to people. I think that's what God's concerned about, is that we love people and we share Christ with them. Storing up treasure in heaven will mean generosity to missions, towards churches, towards church planting, towards ministry training. And yes, to the poor and to the needy in the world as well, because we'll see that people are what matters most. Jesus makes a direct connection between this kind of generosity and the treasure in heaven elsewhere. Do you remember when the rich young ruler comes to Jesus asking, how may I inherit eternal life? We'll come to that in Matthew 19 eventually. Jesus says, if you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Or in Luke 16:9, Jesus says, I tell you, use worldly wealth. Actually, it's the same word that's going to come up later, mammon. Use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. That is, you've invested in people. And when you get there, they'll be going, come and join us. I think laying up treasure in heaven is about investing in God's mission of making disciples, both new disciples and growing and establishing existing ones. That's storing up treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, the heart in the Bible, we tend to think of the heart as kind of just emotions, but the heart in the Bible is your internal control center of your life. It's your thoughts and your desires and your conscience and your will. It's all of it together that impacts how you live. So if our treasures are in heaven, or if our treasures are on earth, then our thinking and our desires will be focused on earth and our actions will follow it. If our treasures are in heaven, then our thinking and our desires will be in heaven, will be on heaven. They'll be focused on the eternal. And that's where they should be. You see, we'll be focused on Jesus' priorities, on his kingdom coming, on his will being done, as we saw in last week's passage. So stop storing up treasure on earth and storing up in heaven. You know, for most of us, that will mean generosity focused on God's kingdom. For some of us, that may mean cutting back on my time and energy just to earn more. Maybe, I don't know what it is for you, but maybe it's cutting back on time and energy in making more so that you can actually use that time and energy to serve God in other ways. So first, Jesus urges us to set our hearts on heaven's treasure. Second, he says, check your vision. In verse 22, it's kind of some strangeness in the language there, but the general metaphor there is easily understood, isn't it? It's a picture that contrasts a good-sighted person, someone who can see perfectly, with a visually impaired person or a blind person. That's pretty clear, I think, in the metaphor. But here's what else is clear. So I think there's these things that are clear. Firstly, there's a contrast between the good eye and the bad eye. Literally, it refers to your eye, not your eyes, which might highlight that it's a metaphor. Literally, it's an eye that is single or simple rather than healthy, and an eye that is evil. Secondly, there's a type of eye. Sorry, each type of eye has an effect on the whole body, light or darkness. And then the third thing we know is this metaphor sits right between two paragraphs that are talking about treasure and wealth. And so surely that's what Jesus means us to think about with this metaphor of our vision. I think there's good reason why Jesus uses a metaphor concerning eyes, involving eyes here. See, there's a connection between our heart, our internal control center, and our eyes. I don't think the eyes here represent our heart. I think he's using a metaphor about eyes because actually our eye is what we see material things with. That's why we go after earthly treasure, because we see them primarily. Other places make this kind of connection as well. 1 John chapter 2 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God remains forever." The word lust there is not referring to just sexual desire, it's referring to any kind of strong desire, including possessions. So I think the point of these verses is something like this in Matthew 6. Vision that is materialistic will affect your whole life. You'll end up basically be walking in darkness, because your life will be governed by just the here and now. And so you'll store up treasures that don't last. Your behavior will be affected by this, by a pursuit of material things. A vision that sees material things that for what they truly are, useful but not ultimate, will enable us to walk in the light. We'll see clearly the truth about just how temporary it all is, you know, how temporary our world is, our life is. We'll see clearly the truth about eternity. We'll see the proper use of material things in this age, not for storing up for ourselves, but for blessing others. Check your materialism. Check your vision when it comes to materialism. Jesus highlights an important issue here, doesn't it? See, if we've got a problem with materialism, it could actually be blinding us to the extent of the problem in our lives. How great is that darkness, he says. We might not be able to evaluate our relationship to material things rightly. See, if I can quote Madonna on this, "We live in a material world, and we are material girls and boys." Right? Because we swim in the luxurious waters of our materialistic culture, this is hard for us, I think, to see it clearly sometimes. And so because of this, I'm actually reluctant to qualify Jesus' statements too much. That's the first thing we want to do, right? We should let his statements challenge us. We should let them penetrate our hearts. Because as soon as we get to the excuses, as soon as we go to them, the danger is it might be showing us that we're in darkness. We're not seeing clearly. So I want to be careful about that for myself and for you. Thirdly, Jesus says, devote yourselves wholeheartedly to God. Here's the sneaky assumption many of us may have had, or even maybe we live by. Can't I do both? Can't I store up treasures on earth and be quite generous at the same time so that I'm storing up treasures in heaven as well? We should not think it's that simple and without danger to do so. Because verse 24, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The old translations say mammon. Money is actually the wrong translation here. The word literally means wealth more generally. It's all your possessions that make up your wealth, not just your money. You cannot serve both God and wealth. Well, the contrast here of love and hate, they may seem extreme, but they're parallel to being devoted and to despising. The thing is, they make the point, the same point, that you can't divide your loyalties equally between the two masters. See, it's a picture of a slave here, right? Although there were very rare cases where a slave might be owned by two masters, if, say, an inheritance was passed on to two sons and there's a slave involved in that, that was possible. But even then, the point still holds. Their loyalty, the loyalty of the slave would be divided. But it's even worse than that. See, if God is your master, if he's your Lord, that's what the word means, you can have no other. To do so would be idolatry, in which case you would not be truly serving God. We must flee the idolatry of materialism. Listen to Craig Blomberg, the guy I quoted earlier this morning. He says this, we try so hard to create heaven on earth and to throw in Christianity when convenient as another small addition to the so-called good life. Jesus proclaims that unless we are willing to serve him wholeheartedly in every area of life, but particularly with our material resources, we cannot claim to be serving him at all. Devote yourselves wholeheartedly to God. See, to love God means we'll actually forsake the world and all its possessions. That is, we'll see them as temporary. Things not that we're going to grasp onto, but we hold very loosely. We have them to serve God. We'll see our possessions as something to be stewarded for God, not something for ourselves. Well, as we wrap up, we're challenged by a challenge here about two treasures, about two visions, and about two masters. Are you challenged by Jesus' words? I know I am. And I know I need to keep going away and thinking more about this and keep analyzing my life and keep trying to put it into practice to store up my treasures in heaven, to keep severing the ties that I have to materialism. See, it's not... Here's the thing, though. It's not me telling you this. Jesus is telling you this. See, if I try and... The reason why I need you to see that this is Jesus' words and not mine that we need to obey here is because my heart wants to qualify all the statements as well. Sure, we can rightly say that the New Testament doesn't forbid having possessions and all sorts of other qualifications and excuses we could make. But be careful in making and accepting the qualifications, those qualifying conditions to Jesus' statement. Be careful that we don't do that such that we get to the point that we're even just nullifying Jesus' words here or ignoring Jesus' words here. I don't know what you need to do specifically in regard to what you have now, but I know that we should all take a really serious look at our hearts in regard to our treasures, in regard to our vision. We need to look at our vision in regard to materialism, and we need to look at our devotion to God. Sure, hopefully Jesus' words make us more generous. I hope that's what happens. More generous in whatever capacity we have to do that. Hopefully it'll make us loosen our grip on our possessions. Hopefully we'll be challenged to sever our ties to materialism. But most of all, hopefully this challenges us to grow in our devotion to Jesus. That's the number one thing. See, he's worthy of it. He left the treasures of heaven to come down and have nothing. He gave up everything, his own life, so that he could have us as his treasure in heaven. Run to Jesus, who can change our hearts, who can give sight to the blind, who served us by laying down his life so that we would serve like him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for Jesus' words. I need to hear it. We need to hear it. Father, you've blessed us with so much. And we can say thank you for your good blessings. Father, please bless us by doing your work in our hearts so that we would steward all we've got to serve you and your kingdom. Father, please help us to keep growing in devotion to Jesus, to serve him wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name, amen.